The Bush administration suffered a major rebuke today. The Supreme Court ruled that the president overstepped his power by ordering war crimes trials for Guantanamo detainees without having authority from Congress. By a 5-3 vote, the court said the procedures set up by the president violate both the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the international laws of war set out in the Geneva Conventions. We'll have several reports. First, NPR's Nina Totenberg reports on the court's ruling.
In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, the president set up procedures for war crimes tribunals, procedures that were opposed internally by military lawyers and externally by civil libertarians. The crunch came first in the case of Salim Ahmed Hamdan, Osama bin Laden's former driver, who was captured in Afghanistan in 2001, taken to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and became the first prisoner to stand trial for war crimes. Charged with conspiracy, his alleged crimes were that he was a bodyguard and helped transport weapons for bin Laden. At the early stages of his trial, when the officer jurors were selected, Hamdan was excluded from the courtroom, and his lawyers appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, claiming that this and other procedures were an illegal and unauthorized concentration of power, that in essence the executive branch was making the rules as well as enforcing them. Today, five justices of the Supreme Court agreed. Writing for the court, Justice John Paul Stevens said that the Constitution gives the Congress, not the president, the authority to make rules concerning captured prisoners and implementing the laws of war. Nothing in the court's precedents, nor the post-9/11 actions of Congress, said Stevens, is a sweeping authorization for the president to establish special military commissions whenever he deems necessary. The president, he said, is required both by the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the Geneva Conventions to use regularly constituted military courts, not special courts with special rules to try accused war criminals. The court said that military commissions have historically been conducted within the confines of the rules laid down under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. The glaring exception to this rule, the court noted, was the trial of General Yamashita after World War II for failing to control his rampaging troops. Partly because of the subsequent criticism of that trial, the court said, the UCMJ was expanded to cover those accused of war crimes like Yamashita. Thus, war crimes trials must be conducted under the same rules that courts-martial are conducted, with some flexibility permitted to meet exigent circumstances. In this case, said the court, nothing in the record demonstrates that it would be impracticable to apply court-martial rules. That lack of necessity showing is particularly disturbing here, the court said, in light of the Bush rules allowing a prisoner to be convicted on the basis of evidence he has neither seen nor heard, evidence that may be the result of torture. For the Bush administration, today's ruling was a stunning setback. Jack Goldsmith served as an assistant attorney general in the administration before becoming a professor at Harvard Law School.
The decision is extraordinary in not deferring during wartime to the president's interpretation of a treaty. There's never been a decision like this in our history.
Andrew McBride, who filed a brief in the Supreme Court on behalf of former Bush and Reagan attorneys general, says the decision takes a big whack out of the president's assertion of executive power and limits his flexibility.
I think we will see less people tried in the military tribunals and more people sent to their countries of origin or dealt with in other ways, as the president attempts to empty Gitmo over the next 2 years.
Professor Goldsmith notes that under the court's decision, detainees can still be held indefinitely without any trial.
The perverse result of the decision in the first instance is that the administration can continue to detain people on Guantanamo Bay, merely showing that they're a member of Al-Qaeda, and detain them until the end of the hostilities, which could go on for a very long time, if not forever.
But as retired Colonel Scott Silliman observes, today's Supreme Court ruling will give an additional boost to those detainees who have gone to federal court claiming that their innocence being wrongly held. Silliman is director of the Center on Law, Ethics, and National Security at Duke.
This ruling today tells the president, if you're going to fight the war on terrorism and prosecute those that we capture, you've got to comply not only with the law of the land as Congress establishes it, but also international law, the law of war, which includes the Geneva Conventions.
And that has many administration allies worried. Again, Andrew McBride.
It also gives them insulation from torture and humiliation. This ruling would suggest that Common Article 3 forbids the United States from engaging in torture to obtain information from unlawful combatants.
But many in the military applauded today's ruling. Retired Brigadier General James Cullen formerly served as Chief Judge of the U.S. Army Court of Criminal Appeals.
These procedures that were set up by the administration, when you look at such things as no right of an accused to see the evidence against him or even to participate in his trial, smack of a kangaroo court. And a kangaroo court will not meet the standards to which we are bound under the Geneva Convention. If our soldiers are captured under those circumstances, we don't want them subjected to kangaroo courts.
As for President Bush, he was circumspect in his reaction to today's ruling, saying the administration would work with Congress to see if a new law is possible. Some contend, however, that there is no need for new laws. Georgetown Law Professor Neil Katyal represented Hamdan in the Supreme Court.
Before embarking on some other five-year reckless experiment, which is going to fail, we should try our court-martial system. It's already on the books and ready to go.
Just what the congressional appetite is for writing a new law is undetermined. Until now, the Congress has studiously avoided writing any sort of a new code for war crimes trials. Senate Republican leader Bill Frist said today he would introduce legislation authorizing the president to create military commissions such as the one struck down today. And as Berkeley law professor John Yoo, who served in the Bush administration, observes, the issue has political potential.
It seems clear the administration is going to make the war on being aggressive on the war on terrorism a campaign issue for this fall. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were to float a bill reversing this decision right before the elections.
Today's Supreme Court decision was written by the court's only military veteran, Justice Stevens. It was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Souter, Breyer, and Kennedy. Dissenting were Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. Scalia and Thomas each delivered impassioned dissents from the bench this morning, castigating the court majority for substituting its judgment for the president's. Chief Justice John Roberts did not participate in the decision because, as a lower court judge, he joined a decision upholding the military commission trials. That decision was reversed today. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.